The first scripture is taken from Psalm 17, verses 1 through 16. This is the Good News translation. Listen for the word of the Lord. Lord, I have come to you for protection. Never let me be defeated. Because you are righteous, help me and rescue me. Listen to me and save me. Be my secure shelter and a strong fortress to protect me. You are my refuge and defense. My God, rescue me from wicked people, from the power of cruel and evil people. Sovereign Lord, I put my hope in you. I have trusted in you since I was young. I have relied on you all my life. You have protected me since the day I was born. I will always praise you. The second scripture today is taken from Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come as the people of Israel came, to what you can feel, to Mount Sinai with its blazing fire. The darkness and the gloom, the storm, the blast of the trumpet, and the sound of the voice. When the people heard the voice, they begged not to hear another word, because they could not bear the order which said, "Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling and afraid." Instead, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, with its thousands of angels. You have come to the joyful gathering of God's firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, who is the judge of all people, and to the spirits of good people made perfect. You have come to Jesus, who arranged the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that promises much better things than does the blood of Abel. Be careful then, and do not refuse to hear him who speaks. Those who refused to hear the one who gave the divine message on earth did not escape. How much less shall we escape then if we turn away from the one who speaks from heaven? His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, "I will once more shake not only the earth, but heaven as well." The words "once more" plainly show that the created things will be shaken and removed, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Let us be thankful then, because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful and worship God in a way that will please him, with reverence and awe, because of our God is indeed a destroying fire.
Listen now for the word of God as we find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And one Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that had kept her sick for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, so he spoke up and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which we should work, so come during those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath." Jesus answered him, "You hypocrites, any one of you would untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and take it out and give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham, whom Satan has kept in bonds for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath? His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did. Here in the readings from the Word of God, and may the Lord add his blessing to this reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O thou who art our strength and our redeemer. Amen. According to ABC World News, Americans take 80% of all painkillers taken in the world. 80% of all the painkillers taken in the whole world. We are a nation in search of a way out of pain. Even over-the-counter pills are taken in record numbers. One report said that Americans buy over 3 billion Tylenol each year. These pills are taken for everything from muscle aches to headaches to arthritis to sometimes for broken hearts and crushed spirits. Do Americans have more pain than people around the world? Somehow, I really doubt it, since we have the good food and clean water and available health care that prevent and cure so many causes of pain, more than many of the nations of the world. It is a puzzling question. I wonder whether it is because we have less willingness as a country to tolerate pain, or whether the widespread need experienced to relieve pain is an attempt to deal with pain that has its origins more in our emotions or even in our spirits than in our bodies. I was very intrigued by the fact that doctors started giving antidepressants to help control pain. And it does work for some people, and for real pain, not imaginary pain. There is a connection between mind and body. We know that well at this point. I've been talking, though, about the legal use of painkillers, but as we know, the abuse of prescription drugs is our most serious drug problem as well. I find myself wondering if there are some emotional and even spiritual causes of pain in our society that we have difficulty recognizing. The woman in the Gospel of Luke had some kind of problem that had kept her bent over for 18 years. The scripture is oddly vague about the cause of her being bent over. Naturally, we tend to think of things like arthritis and physical deformities that can cause such conditions. But it's not clear exactly what kind of problem this was that afflicted this poor woman. Later in the story, Jesus describes the woman as being bound by Satan. Perhaps Luke is trying to say that the woman's affliction was spiritual and not strictly physical. We don't know. The important thing, though, is how Jesus responded to her. This is an unusual healing story because it takes place right in a synagogue. Usually Jesus healed people while he was on the road somewhere or at their house or while he was addressing a crowd or when people brought the sufferers directly to him to be healed. But this took place in a synagogue and while he was teaching and on the Sabbath. It would be like for someone to stumble in here while I was preaching and suddenly I call out to them and then stop what I am doing to go over to them to lay hands on them and to heal them. You'd be a little taken aback, I bet. The leader of that synagogue was not only taken aback, he was angry. He moves quickly to regain control of the situation by standing up in his full authority and officiousness and tells the crowd that they should never come to the synagogue on the Sabbath to be healed because that is work and work is not permitted on the Sabbath. Never mind that this woman has been suffering for 18 years. The fact is that Jesus cares about our pain, all of it, physical, emotional, social, mental, spiritual. And he cares for the pain of each one of us, no matter who we are. Synagogues in Jesus' day were not very hospitable places for women. Only men were allowed in the main part of the synagogue. Women had to sit in a balcony or in a special section off to one side. It is unlikely that this woman was doing anything to attract attention to herself. With the prevailing belief of the time that illness and disability was caused by sinfulness or by evil spirits, having a visible affliction caused great social as well as physical pain. But Jesus had a different viewpoint. We probably have to come up with much more repellent illnesses to empathize with the feelings of the men gathered to hear Jesus toward this woman. Perhaps someone who is emaciated and covered with sores from AIDS. Being human, we might well want to urge such a person to come back at a more appropriate time. The story is told of one church that was taken aback by a person walking in wearing scruffy clothes and smelling strongly of beer. He staggered down the aisle and sat in the very front row. When the pastor began the sermon, this man shouted, "Hallelujah!" The pastor gave him his best stern look and continued with his sermon. "Praise the Lord," said the man. An usher then came up and whispered discreetly to him, "Sir, we don't do that here." "But I've got religion," the man shouted. "Yes," said the usher, "I'm sure you do, but you didn't get it here." Now, I doubt any of the leaders of this church would do such a kind of thing, even if you were shocked and surprised. You are much too kind and polite. But we're not always comfortable with the kinds of things that can happen in a church or with the people who can unexpectedly show up. We all like a certain amount of orderliness and predictability in our worship. One of my favorite descriptions of a church is a hospital for sinners. We all need healing, and this description for me reestablishes the fact that churches exist for the lost, not for the found. And sometimes the lost are just not that convenient for the rest of us, those that we who feel we're not lost. As we wait for the PNC to complete its work so that the church can welcome a new and permanent minister, it's important to remember that they may want to lead St. Andrew in surprising and inconvenient directions in order to meet more of the lost and bring them in for healing. If you trust God's leading in this, it is important that you give that new pastor the benefit of the doubt if you don't like something that they do or say, and that you also are willing to accept being led in surprising new directions, at least until or unless it becomes overwhelmingly clear that what's happening is not within God's purpose or will. But God is nothing if not surprising, in my experience. Often the people that God chooses to work through are surprising as well. The new pastor at the church my family has been attending for years in Illinois is definitely not what I expected. He has a kind of casual irreverence about him. He's very different from his predecessor, who had been there for 20 years. I wasn't sure I liked him. This new pastor is often quite humorous in his irreverence, unless, of course, he's stepping on one of my sacred cows. And yet I see now, after a year, that he has attracted a flock of young children through his children's sermons who adore him. and a group of youth who also like to hang around. The new electric sign in front of the church was a surprise to me when I went back there for a visit. But so is the new food pantry that was established in the church. There is also a new mission committee tackling some very difficult issues in the community. I haven't been around to see how he pulls off these things, but it sure looks like some kind of partnership between him and God is involved. Some people, unfortunately, have left the church. Growing and changing can be difficult. The mission of Jesus Christ is to heal those of us who are already here and those of us outside our doors who need us. And during his short time walking the earth, he healed many, but he also enraged many. Our passage from Hebrews reminds us of the awesomeness and even fearsomeness of the way God interacted with God's people in the past. The writer reminds us that the God we know through Jesus is the same all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, the God of Moses and Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments, but who has now grafted us into the family of God to become heirs with Jesus Christ of the kingdom of heaven. We are blessed indeed that our job now is to join with angels and the people of faith from the past in a joyful celebration of the new covenant, the new Jerusalem, and to accept the gifts that are being offered. We may need to be healed first. One of the most surprising healing stories took place just this past week in Georgia. Antoinette Tuff has struggled with heartache and even depression in the past. She told Anderson Cooper on CNN that she had a time in her life when she had even been suicidal. In spite of that, this office worker of an elementary school, a bookkeeper, was able to talk down the 20-year-old mentally ill young man who came to her school armed with an assault rifle and 500 rounds of ammunition with the intention of killing and being killed. He is apparently severely mentally ill, and as he confessed to Antoinette, he was off his medication. We learned later that he'd even been arrested before in March of this very year for terrorist threats and acts, but was sentenced only to 3 months probation and anger management classes. Obviously, anger management classes are not an appropriate treatment for severe mental illness, as this situation illustrates all too well. The treatment that was effective in stopping his planned violence and getting him to a place where healing might begin for him was the love and courage of Antoinette Tuff. The three-way conversation between Antoinette and the 9/11 dispatcher and the shooter is a marvel of love and intelligence and courage. She is responsible for preventing another horrible massacre of young school children and adults. She had no training as a negotiator, yet she negotiated successfully for all those precious lives, even that of the shooter himself. How did she do it? Antoinette herself has an answer to that question. First, she had to be healed. She has gone through a divorce and has an adult son with multiple disabilities. They're some of the causes of her own depression in the past. But she's a member of a church, one of those hospitals for the lost. And she was just beginning a series offered in her church on anchoring in God. According to Antoinette, being anchored in God is what made her successful in that intense life and death situation. The words came from God, she says. Her courage came from God. Her very genuine, authentic love for this young man who was threatening all their lives came from God. She says that she was praying inside herself throughout the entire incident. Seeing her interviewed on television was an inspiration, with the love and grace and wisdom and humility shining through her eyes and her demeanor. At the end of the interview, Anderson Cooper asked Antoinette Tough what she would like for people to know. She said, "I want them to know that God is real. That God is real." The writer of Hebrews describes God's great gift through Jesus Christ, which is the gift of the kingdom, of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is rock solid, impermeable, internal, eternal, and real. It can be for us the anchor that it is for Antoinette Tough. The kingdom of heaven is for us. It is our inheritance if we choose to accept it. But first, we may need to be healed. This story of Jesus and the woman that had an affliction that caused her to be bent over for 18 years gives us a unique perspective on what worship is for. What if we were to use coming to worship on Sunday morning as a way to position ourselves so that Christ can heal us? All of us have something in our lives that keeps us from enjoying the fullness of life that we are promised. Many of us have physical or emotional or social or even spiritual pain. The healing of Christ does not replace the skill and knowledge of doctors or therapists, but it can free us from any spiritual problems that constrain us and anchor us and give us the strength and wisdom to cope with everything else. Thanks be to God. Amen.